All right, let me move on over here to my monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. Every single day, by the way, I'll remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care is the chain of clinics that covers a lot of ground across North Alabama. In places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six more locations around the Birmingham area, and Southern Immediate Care will see all ages, open 7 days a week, and they are the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so this past week, actually late on a Friday evening, with very little fanfare, Congress saw fit to renew Section 7023 of the FISA law. The FISA law. It's a little weird when groups like the House Freedom Caucus and the ACLU find themselves aligning. But there they were. Renewal of FISA for two more years give the government's intelligence agencies new ways to surveil Americans without a warrant. Proponents, the ones who want the bill, say it's necessary in today's world to provide security by intercepting crime before it happens. Okay. Opponents, I believe rightfully, point out that it's a dangerous encroachment on our Fourth Amendment right against unlawful search and seizure. But I suddenly had this flashback to a movie, a Jim Carrey movie. Now, I don't care for Jim Carrey as a general rule, but this one flick he made was it's kind of out of character for him. You've probably seen it. It's called The Truman Show. It was a story about a man named Truman, and they actually filmed it right down the road in Grayton Beach, Florida. So the storyline went that from his birth, this guy Truman became the unknowing centerpiece of a reality show. He lived in a world that he did not know was fabricated. All the characters in his life, friends and family and co-workers, they were all cast members. Every single day was contrived. People were dropped into his life, they became a part of it, and in the movie, The Truman Show was a fixation the world over as people spent countless hours just watching the everyday events in the life of Truman. It also became kind of sad when you began to realize the extent to which mind games were being played on him by the infamous director Christo and his scriptwriters. So to stoke fears and pique emotions and just to keep him in the positions they wanted him for the show, they dropped things in his path and they had him react to it just to see what would happen. He was like a guinea pig on a wheel every day for an audience. The greater goal became the ratings and the endorsements until the day came that Truman, now a grown man, began to get suspicious of the occasional mix-ups on the set, or the characters that got caught out of character. And as you watch the movie, you can't help but feel sorry for a guy who has no say in the events of his own life. He has absolutely no privacy, none whatsoever. Every corner of his life had a hidden microphone or a camera. If he whispered to his girlfriend, the world knew it. If he dreamed of a vacation, well, they would write up a script that convinced him what a bad idea that would be. If he sings in the shower, reads a book, or drinks a soda, it all was about the product placement for the sponsors of The Truman Show. Everybody had an angle. Everybody was a manipulator. Everybody stood to gain from Truman, except Truman. It was the complete loss of privacy for the benefit of others. I mean, can you imagine it? Well, some of us can. In today's surveillance state, there's a complete loss of anonymity. If somebody wants to tag you, they can. Criminals do it regularly. Not long ago, a family member of mine got a notification on her iPhone that someone had begun tracking her with an Apple iPod, an AirPod, I mean. Basically, a small device you can put on your car, your briefcase, or whatever, so if you lose it, you can track it down. Except that criminals now use them to drop in a lady's purse or a gym bag and then follow them discreetly to their homes. It's pretty scary stuff. Criminals know how to walk past you in a grocery store and scan the data off your phone, to include passwords. They can do it to some credit cards just by holding a device close to your wallet while on a crowded subway. But those are criminals. I mean, that's the kind of behavior we expect from lawbreakers. There's always a good reason to take precautions, keep your head on a swivel, know your surroundings, have a plan to hurt someone before they can hurt you, right? What we don't expect to see, though, what we don't expect is for that kind of thing to come from our government. People who are actually sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution. It sometimes starts off with simple things, you know, like, oh, just like a red light camera. A red light camera. Those insidious little devices that take a picture of you while you drive by. Then they send you a picture in the mail months later telling you you have to pay a fine or risk a warrant. No accuser to confront. Just a moneymaker for the local municipality. It ramps up from there with things like data from our phones being subject to seizure from the phone companies. Proof of a medical vaccination data required to be able to eat in a restaurant. COVID testing to get on an airplane. It becomes a slippery slope of what we must display of our private lives to be allowed to do public things. And then they start farming your social media. They can claim it's really public domain information because you posted it, until you realize that they then set their algorithms where the government told them to so that your so-called misinformation won't cause problems with the government's narrative. But one of the things that's supposed to be the hallmark of a free and open democracy is actually the ability to converse with your elected officials. How about that? To know that we have access because they are representatives of us in the halls of government. And then you find out, though, they don't like that you're communicating with your elected officials, and they need to know a little more just to make sure that you're not a potential problem. Like, for instance, in 2022, Congressman Troy Nehls of Texas, he posted a statement on social media saying that Capitol Police had illegally entered his office dressed as construction workers. What? While there, the congressman asserts they took photographs of his legislative papers and they began grilling his staff as to meetings he had had with constituents. These Capitol Police had actually come in while the House was in recess under the belief the office might be empty, and they were discovered there by an employee. His belief, and I agree, is that it was a complete violation of what is known as the Speech and Debate Clause of Article 1, Section 6 of the Constitution. Do they have a warrant? Apparently not. Did they request entry? Apparently not. Does it smack of totalitarianism? Quite so. And the plot thickened later when 33 House Republicans sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi. Speaker Pelosi was actually in charge of the Capitol Police, mind you. They called on her to launch an investigation into what are believed to be, get this, widespread surveillance abuses by the Capitol Police. The letter states the Capitol Police are surveilling members of Congress, congressional staff, and even their Capitol visitor constituents. It's alleged the Capitol Police have been found to be monitoring the online activity of congressional staff and individuals who meet with their congressmen, even reviewing property tax information to learn who owns the properties where their meetings were taking place, reviewing online information to determine contacts of foreign individuals. Now, some would claim this level of police state action is just, like, you know, all necessary in the name of security. Insurrection is still a buzzword for many up there in the Capitol. We must be safe. We must know your business. Your privacy be danged. The greater good demands it. Well, okay. In fact, what this does, though, is it puts a chilling effect on the ability of members of Congress to hold meetings with their concerned constituents, business interests, or for that matter, just to grill out with their friends when they're home from D.C. It is absolutely unconscionable. It represents a flagrant disrespect for the ability of the duly elected members of Congress to conduct their business by assuming a lack of integrity without probable cause. So look, I'll add fuel to the fire here, by the way, too, and point out that Congressman Troy Nehls, the one who found those guys searching his office, is also a staunch Trump supporter. He most recently wore a T-shirt with Trump's mugshot on it to the Biden State of the Union address. And then immediately thereafter, he was notified that a House ethics investigation had launched on his campaign finances. Nothing to see here. Move along, please. Look, we deserve better than this. We deserve to know that our rights are going to be protected. We should be allowed to speak freely, confront our accusers, be free from unlawful search and seizure, and not worry about whether someone in power is going to take issue with whether or not we have a meeting with our duly elected officials. Ben Franklin once said, "Those who give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." If we continue down this path, we will become a society of Trumans. The Truman Show will be like us every day, and the government will be nothing more than the infamous director Christo from the Truman Show. Yeah, keep your eyes open. Smile for the camera, y'all. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm saying the surveillance state. By the way, we don't have it as bad as they do in other countries. Like for instance, there's more cameras surveilling the population of London than any other city in the world. But see, no other country in the world has our Constitution. And here we are, with the Fourth Amendment right to protection from unlawful search and seizure, among other things in the Bill of Rights. And yet, here we stand, wondering if we are part of a surveillance state. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.